Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for those who are gathered to study your word. We ask you bless the reading of the word for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, some of you should have a dispensational time chart, one that doesn't, then Dave hadn't done his job and gotten it over there yet. But I passed these out to you last time, okay? And I'm just going to briefly go over this and you can go through, but this is a dispensational overview of the Bible. What you need to understand for tonight's study is that I'm going to be saying that the dispensational time chart is basically broken down into three phases, okay? Yesterday, biblically, is from Genesis through the Gospels, okay? Today, which is basically the Pauline epistles, Romans through Philemon, and then tomorrow is from Hebrew through Revelation. What you need to understand from this point of view is that yesterday and tomorrow are Jewish. Today is Gentile. Okay? There's been an awful lot of people that have been concerned about a period of time known as the wrath, which I on this chart will put up here as the 7 years of tribulation prior to the 1,000 millennium. Now, there are those who are pre-trib, pre-millennial. There are those that are mid-trib, mid. You understand what I'm talking about? In other words, the mid-tribulation point is right here.
Which would be 3.5 years.
3.5. And I believe that that is the point when Satan's going to come down to the earth. And at this point, he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit. Okay, so that, and I'm going to try to show you this. First of all, Israel, all Old Testament scripture and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John scripture talk about wrath. Wrath is not hell. Wrath is hell, but it's not hell itself. Okay, and I'll try to show you that. What I want you to do is turn to Luke chapter 3. And let's look at verse 7. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Those are the words I want you to concentrate on. Wrath to come. All right? There is a wrath which will come, and it's going to be before eternal damnation cast into the lake of fire. All right? Luke chapter 21, verse 23. Luke 21:23 says, But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck, in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Folks, wrath is Jewish. The Jews have been pronounced by God to have wrath, which is going to come. Keep that in mind. Don't argue with me right now. Just take it what it is. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. You'll have plenty of time to argue and ask questions in a minute. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against what? The day of wrath. So those who say wrath is hell, then what is this wrath against what? The day of wrath. Alright? Think about that. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 9.
What was the last reference?
Romans 2, 5.
Yeah,
Romans 2, 5. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And Romans Bobby knows I do make mistakes sometimes. I might even be in the wrong darn book. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. What does it say? Those of us who are justified by the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ are going to be what?
Saved.
Saved from wrath. How are we going to be saved from wrath?
Through Him.
Through Him. Isn't that great? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait, got it?
1 Thessalonians
is just before 2 Thessalonians. Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which did what?
Delivered.
There's the key word. Delivered us from the wrath to come. Folks, you trust Christ as your Savior, He delivers you from the wrath. If you think you're going to go through the wrath, you must not be saved.
Amen.
You must not understand grace.
Amen.
Because clearly, we see this. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For God hath not appointed us. Who is the us? The church, the body of Christ, okay?
Verse 9.
1 Thessalonians 5:9. If you came here and I'm talking as loud as I am, there's something wrong with your hearing over there.
You didn't say nine.
Y'all better quit talking badly about me. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 24. The biggest problem that most people have if they think we're going through tribulation is Matthew chapter 24. Alright? If you're in the habit of writing in your Bible, if you're not, you ought to get used to doing it because it is not a sin to write in your Bible. Okay? In Matthew chapter 24, label that tribulation chapter. Okay? Matthew chapter 24, label it tribulation chapter. I want you to go down to verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are what?
The beginning
of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many, watch this, false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Folks, if you have listened to someone that tells you or has told you that you are going through the tribulation, I consider that person a false prophet. Beware of someone that does that. And here's what you need to do. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Have you memorized that yet? Don't turn from here. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they did what? Received the word with all readiness, then searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Check out everybody that says those kinds of things in the scripture. Not by what they say. Not by what I say. But what the Scripture says. You know, I can tell you something wrong, but God's Word cannot. I can be on these tablets that I take for scientists and be nutty as a cuckoo clock. But God's word is not going to be that way. So, now, Revelation 24, we're still there. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the what?
Matthew 24.
I'm still in Matthew, excuse me. Verse 14. And the gospel of the kingdom. Whose gospel is the gospel of the kingdom?
Jewish.
What is the kingdom?
What Jesus set up.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What were the Jews thinking about? They were looking for an earthly kingdom. And who's going to be set up as the king?
Jesus
Christ. So then, when we pray that thing, or they see those things, and pray, thy kingdom come, if they are saying to you that this is you, they're wrong. Absolutely wrong. It's just, there's no question about it. All right, now then, look at verse 15. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Do you know anything about the abomination of desolation? Do this or this. Okay?
Is that not the, like the Antichrist?
Okay. Is that something like the Antichrist? Actually, the abomination which desolates in Daniel is an idol. When the idol is placed into the temple in Jerusalem, watch out, huh?
Does it come alive?
I don't know. Not necessarily.
Life unto the beast.
Understand. Revelation, we'll go there. But Satan has a beast, a false prophet, and Satan. There's three, just like three in Christ, you know, Father, you know. Mm-hmm. So, just remember that. There are three. We'll get into that, okay? In 24:14, I'm going to go back there. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto nations, and then shall the end come. Oh, that's 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's what I just read, right?
Mm-hmm.
When is the end going to come?
After that happens.
I'm going to rush through, but I'm going to show you. Matthew chapter 24, it says, one's going to be taken away, and one's going to be left. Who's going to be taken away?
Christian. No. The sinner.
The lost.
The lost.
And one that's going to be left is going to be ushered into the kingdom. Who's going to be taken away in the rapture? The body of Christ. Oh, but the word rapture is not in the Bible. True. The word in the Greek is actually means to be caught up or caught away. It's just that someone is, over the years, it's kind of like being raptured out. But we're just going to be caught up. So let's just forget about the rapture. Let's just say we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that's important. There's a difference between the body of Christ being caught up to be with the Lord and those that are going to usher in the kingdom with Jesus Christ being left on the earth. All right? All right. Now let's look at Revelation 13. It is Revelation, not Revelations. Right? Uh-huh. Don't ever let me hear you say Revelation from this day forward. What is this? This is the revelation of John. Okay? Revelation. In chapter 13, let's see where I want to go. I'll just go to 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Go on down to verse 3. And I saw one of the heads. Go on down to verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to what?
Overcome
them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life or are of the Lamb slain from the foundation. When you get saved, either before in yesterday, today, or tomorrow, guess what's going to happen? Your name is going to be in the book. All right? Going to be in a book. Look at Daniel chapter 12.
The same book? Are all names in the same book?
Uh-huh. It says the book of life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The would imply, right?
Okay.
Where's Daniel?
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament. Ezekiel.
Daniel what?
Daniel chapter 12. There you go. You got it. Daniel chapter 12. And let's look at verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days.
Whoa.
How many years is that?
The day of the Lord is
1,290. How many years?
1,000 years
with
the Lord is
3.5.
So what's going to happen? When the abomination that desolates is established, there's going to be 3.5 years after that point in time. So when is Satan going to come? At the midpoint of tribulation. Right?
He's not here already.
He found for the first 3.5, right?
All right. On your time chart, I have over here the first fall of Satan. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you read that book there, and then the verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void and darkness along the face of the deep. Something had to have happened to cause a perfect creation to... Now, I taught that the last time I was here, right? So what happened is, Satan is kicked out at that point. He's going to be kicked out. At this point, he's up here in the heaven, probably Jupiter. He's up there in the heaven at that point, kicked out. Then he's going to be kicked out at the end of 1,000 years into the lake of fire. Third, three falls. Say 1, 2, 3. All right? All right? Any question? If I go too fast, just say, whoa. All right? Slow down. And I do have a tendency sometimes to go fast.
Sometimes.
Okay. In Revelation chapter 12, we see a battle going on between Michael and the archangel. I'm not going to have you go there right now, okay? But it's Revelation 12, 7 through 9 for your information. All right? Okay. The second beast that we see, go to Revelation 13. And, all right, let's look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. The second beast is the false prophet. Okay? So Satan is imitating the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Christ for whom the prophet Israel was waiting. Folks, Genesis through John, Israel, Hebrew through Revelation, Israel. What Genesis through John was for Old Testament saints, Hebrew through Revelation will be for this 1,000 year millennium and 7 years of tribulation. It's going to be that much more. Okay. You have heard, and I'm not going to go there right now. You'll find that mentioned 144,000. There are some people at one time that thought that the 144,000 all were going to be saved. A particular denomination said that. But then after they had more than 144,000, they changed that. Okay. The thing about it is, this 144,000 that's mentioned over there in the book of Revelation are going to be preachers that's preaching during the first 3.5 years. That's right. There's going to come Elijah and Moses and 144,000. Guess what they're going to have to be? Remember? And they're going to have to be not married, virgin, all of that stuff, right? Is that similar to what Jesus was? Just take a look. Just take a look. Read it.
Are they false preachers?
Huh? No. Those are going to be the real thing. 12,000 from each tribe. Okay? Not false preachers. They're going to be the real thing. Okay? For the Jews. Pardon?
Where is that? That's in Revelation.
Revelation 14. I think verse 1. Let's see. Yeah. All right. You know, it's a sad thing that so many people, so many denominations put their congregations under bondage. Okay? And some of them know the truth, but still teach the old way. What do you call that? Call it dumb, don't you? Simplified term. It's just plain dumb. But then I got to thinking, why would someone do that? Well, if I was in misery all these years, why not someone else being in misery too? I don't know what it is, but it's dumb if you don't understand grace. If you understand grace, it's dumb to continue doing it. I don't write them, I just tell it like it is.
That's what we want.
So he's going to be bound for this 1,000 year in this bottomless pit. Alright? Right here. Cast out. Right here, in the bottom of the sphere. He's going to circle the globe to get converts. What's that?
Pull it towards you. There you go.
He's going to circle the globe. What's he going to be looking for? Satan. He's going to be loose from the bottomless pit after 1,000 years. He's going to circle the globe. Looking for converts. You know what? He's going to get a lot. How do I know that? The Bible says, such as of the sands of the sea will be the number that follow him. Isn't that ridiculous? But think about it. It's not so ridiculous when you think that the Jews over here in this period of time had 4,000 years And what did they say? Okay, Lord, if you just give us a king like the Gentiles, then we would worship. God gave them a king. Then, when they kind of doubted, he said, what if you just send us a prophet straight from you? Then we'd worship you. So he sent the prophet. Well, if you just send us your son, then we would certainly worship it. So sent Jesus Christ, and the Jews put him to death. Okay? They rejected it. Now I want you to think with me now, and I'm jumping from this thing of wrath to show you why grace is so important. Over here in yesterday, Moses was given the law. Was the law ever given so that if someone could keep it, they'd be made righteous?
No.
Huh? But how many people preach that you got to keep the law? Right? Is there a passage in Galatians that you might have come across that tells you what was the purpose of the law?
To show up sin.
Are you just saying that, or do you have a verse to back that up there? What's important, not what I say, what you say, but what the Word of God says, right? So find me a verse that says that.
Galatians 3:24.
Read it.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Oh, okay. That's whoa.
Yeah.
The law was our
schoolmaster.
What does a schoolmaster do?
Teach.
What did the schoolmaster of the law teach?
That we are sinners.
They taught the law. Alright? But this says that it was only that what? To bring us unto Christ. The law was never intended to save. The law was never intended as a guideline for human good. Because no one can keep the law. And the Scripture says that if you offend in one part, what? You are guilty of all. Right? Now look at the next verse. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now this word faith here of Christ.
Faith of Christ.
So what's the faith of Christ? Do you know what faith of Christ is? The fact that when he went to hell,
that God would get him back out. That was his faith.
Do you mean Jesus went into hell?
That's right.
Sure did. He descended into the lower depths of hell. He sure did. And he was there for how many days?
3 days.
Uh-huh. And what happened? When faith has come, we're no longer under the law, folks. The schoolmaster. We're no longer under the law. And those who teach that you should keep the law don't understand Pauline epistles. Matter of fact, most of them that do that will say the Pauline epistles are just extra. Those who do that will usually say that Peter and Paul preach the same gospel. They don't know what they're talking about. There's a different gospel.
Amen.
Okay? The gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision is not what my Baptist background taught me. It's not that it's the same gospel just to two different people. That ain't so. There's a difference. And when we get into next week's study, I'm going to show you the difference between the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of uncircumcision, specifically about 15 different comparisons between the two. You judge for yourself whether or not I'm speaking the truth of the word or not. Okay? And we will get into that. Those that are saved in the dispensation of grace will not go through the wrath.
Amen.
Okay? Don't you dare let somebody else say so. Bring them to task. Make them show you. Okay? From the Word, not their words. I'll tell you a story. Back when I was pastor in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, back in between 1975 and 2000. Okay? That's how long I pastored down in Baton Rouge. I remember I had a Tuesday night class and a Thursday night class before we ever started a church. And it just so happened that those classes grew to the point where we had to find a place to meet together. Okay? I never wanted to be a pastor. I still don't like pastoring. Okay? I like teaching. And there's a difference, though. But the thing is, there are those in that study who were going to another study. They were kind of like you. You're searching so much for truth, you're trying to find it. Okay? And so you go out to really seek it, and that's good. Okay? But it happened that these two ladies who were real close friends were going to this same Bible class. And they were saying what they were being taught in our study. And it was contradictory to what was being taught in that other study. And so that pastor said, well, I bet he won't do it, but you get your teacher friend over there to come and sit down with me, I'll show you who's right and who's wrong. Okay? I agreed to go. I think it's surprising that I agreed to go. But I did agree to go, and I went there. In his place, I'm in unfriendly territory to start with. With someone I know disagrees with my viewpoint. And I sit down, and there is his chairman of deacons there, and another deacon there, three of them, and me sitting there. And he says, well, let's get started. I said, no. We got to have rules, guidelines before we get started. First of all, if it doesn't say it here, we don't have anything to talk about it.
That's right.
Okay? He agreed. Oh, yeah, I agree. So, he goes to a particular passage and he reads one verse of Scripture. Whoa. Let's read three verses before and a couple of verses after. What am I doing? Give me the whole subject matter. Don't pick one thing out. I can pick out of here that if you commit adultery, I ought to go stone you immediately. Right? Then there'd be a whole lot of dead adulterers around the world today, wouldn't it? But anyway, so he goes on to say something else and use a passage of Scripture. I said, whoop, wait, did the same thing. I did that three times. He gets up, walks out of the building, leaving me and his two deacons there. And they said, but from that point on, guess what? The two ladies that were going there became members of the fellowship that we had because they saw that you can take things out of Scripture. It wasn't me, was it?
No.
What was I doing? Making them read the Word in the context, okay? So I'm going to let someone pull out one passage of Scripture and prove a point without backing it up with two other passages of Scripture. And the Word of God will actually allow you to do that. It's that way. One passage, two passages, three passages, and you can go and check them out. It is great. It's the Word of God, and make them go to the Word of God, okay? There are far too many people who do not believe God would allow torment for there to be a hell. There are so many people that say they don't believe in hell. But I was in the Army, and I know that a lot of those peoples that didn't believe in hell got foxhole religion. You know what that is? When the bombs are coming in, they think they're going to die. Who they're going to call upon? God. Okay? I've seen it, folks. I've seen it. Hell is a real place. Wrath on this earth is a real thing. Okay? They are not the same. Hell is down here. The wrath which is to come is up here. They're two different places. Don't you forget it. All right? So we're going to talk about the king and the kingdom over here in the 1,000-year millennium. Millennium is a word derived from Latin that means 1,000 years. It's just that simple. Biblically, this is commonly referred to as the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay? The place of the second coming of Christ is foretold in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. Zechariah 14, 4. Read it, David.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Found it yet?
Yep. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
Is that a physical, earthly mountain splitting in two? It sure enough is. Guess what? Ain't nothing heavenly about that, is it? What's going to happen? Okay? What's going to happen is right here on this earth. And who's going to come down? Jesus. And what's going to happen? It's going to be a valley for him. Right? Now what's that? What's going to happen right here is the battle of Armageddon. And once the battle is complete, Satan's going to be bound. He's defeated him. There we go. Alright. The place for the second coming of Christ is on the earth. During this 1,000-year reign of Christ, you will see people attaining ages comparable to Methuselah in the Old Testament. The land that had become parched during the last 3.5 years of tribulation will come to life. Go to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35, verse 1. Are we there? The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, which is a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of the dragons, where each lay shall be grass with what? Reeds and rushes. A lot of people say, oh, that's already happened. That was back over there when they built the new capital of Israel. It's going to happen. Guess what? It's going to be here during 1,000 years. There's another passage of Scripture that says the lamb shall be lay down with what? The lion. And a child can put his hand on the snake's den, right? And it won't bite. That's what's going to happen. Here. Huh?
So it'll be like the Garden of Eden. Again.
Absolutely. It's amazing. Do a study of Genesis and Revelation, how the two parallel. It's amazing.
Now, where is that going to come?
1,000 years.
In the 1,000 years.
In the 1,000 years. All right. I'm closing in on the end. Yes, it's already been 45 minutes. I know it only seems like 10. Because, you know, the teacher is so good.
There's not a minute.
Oh, shucks.
We had to remind Barry.
I am so humble most of the time. You didn't have to say hand.
It just jumped out.
There are going to be peace on earth, folks. You pray for peace, that's when it's going to come. There's not going to be any peace. There's not going to be any peace. There is not going to be any peace. As soon as some of you shut up so I can finish. There's not going to be any peace until we're raptured out of here. You're not going to have peace in your lifetime on this earth.
That's right. That's right.
Okay? Don't look for it. I know that a lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's not going to be. Sorry. David's throne is going to be established in Jerusalem over here in 1,000-year reign, and the Lord will make wars cease. He's not going to ever have an end of war until that time comes. There's going to be another war after this war that's going on in Afghanistan today. There's going to be more. Israel's going to build houses and no other people will take their houses, folks. It ain't happened yet because Israel's building houses in the what? West Bank, and guess what? They're taking them away, aren't they? Aren't they? It's not going to happen over here. Okay? We are not there, folks. I guarantee you, we are not there. The prediction of the king coming is found in Revelation chapter 1. I have an awful lot of people over the past that used to ask me, when are we going to do a study of Revelation? I said, not until you understand grace. Why do a study of the books not even for you? To you, not for you. Where am I? 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall what?
Wail.
Because of him. Even so. Amen. Folks, Jesus Christ is coming the second time, right here. The second coming of Christ is here. It is not here with the catching out and away of the church. They are two separate things. Jesus Christ is coming in the air for the church. He's coming and setting his feet upon Mount Zion. He's going to split in two for the kingdom.
That's the difference. We're meeting in the air versus coming to the
yes.
Air.
What?
So like when the rapture actually happens, or the kids now? Will other people not be able to see Jesus? Like,
because
it says we're
going to
be caught up in the air with him.
Yeah, but over here they're
going to
see him coming.
I know, but my question
but
is,
over here,
they won't be able to see him, right?
As a matter of fact, you know what I think is going to happen? This is just me. Now, this is over, but this is not the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay? This is me. I think they're going to, we're going to be caught up, and a bunch of people are going to say, well, where did so-and-so happen? I don't know. Good riddance.
So they won't think.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be that big a deal.
Yeah. I don't.
A lot
I really
of
don't.
Ain't going to notice it. I mean,
maybe a few wrecks here. We are getting so small, the number of people who are Christians, that they're not going to care. And the ones that bug the heck out of them, you know, while they're here, they're going to be glad to go.
There's only eight people waiting on the
bus. Okay, I've got about three different conversations going on. Okay, you first.
I said, so then the second coming is when he will come to the earth.
That's right, and be seen. Yeah. Seen coming. Okay, what was the other?
We were just saying, we think it was going to be like we died, like our just a bunch of bodies laying around and we're gone.
Why do you think there'd be a body?
Because we can't take this earthly vile body to heaven.
Could it be possible that it just turned back to dust?
That is true.
Right? Possible, right?
Oh, no.
I don't know. Now, I don't know, but if we were created, if Adam was created from dust, then God can do anything he wants to, can't he? I don't think there's going to be a bunch of bodies lying around.
Do you think it might be, the body might be glorified? No, I can't. I answered my own question.
Why can't it be?
Because it's vile.
Huh?
It's a vile body.
Okay.
It needs to go back to dust.
That's right. And what about this body can't get into heaven? Blood is the key, folks. Blood. We had this discussion. Okay? Why? Jesus Christ died and shed his blood before he could receive a glorified body, and you must be.
Amen.
Amen.
All
right? That's right.
It's there. It's the blood.
That's all.
Go to Revelation 21. And this will be probably the last time you'll ever hear me teach on Revelation. Right? And I'm doing this to prove some people who think you're going to go through the wrath that they're wrong. Okay? In Revelation chapter 21.
20 or 21?
21.
Okay.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Those. In the recreation process, what happened? The rivers, the lakes, the oceans appeared. What percent of the globe, the earth, is water? Huh? Over 70, right?
That's over 70.
Over 70, all right, percent is water. But there's not going to be any sea. Okay. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, I could teach several things on this, but I don't have the time. I just don't want to get into it right now. But here comes the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Zip, zip, zip. Right? All right? As a what? Adorned for what?
Bride.
How many people have told you that you're the bride of Christ? Oh, well, if you are, you got to be a Jew. You're not a bride. You are part of a body. The Lord's body. Oh, there, but there's a thing over there in Ephesians that says that two will be one. You will be, but it's not.
Yeah.
And Ephesians, and I say, every marriage that I perform, put in there, speak to you, this is a mystery. It's what it says in 5 verse 31, I think it is somewhere, the last verse, and talking about the body of Christ. But that's another story. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. New heaven, new earth, new heaven, new earth. All of this part was created first, gone away. It's going to happen in that time. In chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. What does that say? It's going to be the tree of life that's going to pop back up over here, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. It was taken away, remember? And it will come back over here. All right, let's go. And what happened is they're going to have what? There's going to be a fruit on that tree. And every month it's going to change. Right? On the tree. But watch the next part of that verse. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. There's not going to be any sickness because God has provided the healing before Him. He provides always, doesn't He? And here's the miraculous thing about us today, that before God ever brought Adam into the world, Moses or Abraham, He chose us.
Oh, wow.
Yes, amen.
He chose us. Where do you find that? In Ephesians. Find it for me. I know it. You tell me. Huh?
He chose us before the foundation.
Ephesians 1:4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world.
What?
Oh, and
before He did all of this.
He chose us.
He chose us. Here. That's why. It's a mystery. Here. In God.
It's the most precious thing you could have.
Absolutely.
People want to be spiritualists.
And here we are in the age of the dispensation of grace, a mystery hidden to God.
That's
right. And here's the thing is, He even prepared us so we wouldn't have to go through the wrath.
Oh, man.
Isn't that fabulous?
It is unreal.
Praise God. And from all blessings. Any questions?
Amen.
I have a question about Revelation.
Okay.
Is it actually like in the sequence, like the things that happen as it's played out in Revelation? Is it going to happen the way it's played out?
If you want to go and study the book of Revelation, and I had to do that at one point in time, you're going to see that there are chapters that talk about things that are going to happen, and then chapters that talk about the things that they said were going to happen. So it's a... I'm just going to pick it up. I'm not saying it. Let's say there's chapter 2 over here that talks about beasts and animals, and then over here in chapter 6, it comes and says what it said it was going to say. Now, that's confusing,
it is,
I know.
Kind of. It explains it.
Yes.
Yes.
It
says it's going to happen, and then it comes back and explains
it. Says it's
okay. Here's what I want to know. Until you get you a preacher, and you need a pastor, okay? You're going to want a pastor eventually. Until you get there, I'll be available whenever I can. But I would rather come on Sunday mornings, if that's okay. Everybody would like to do that? Raise your hand. All right? 10 o'clock on next Sunday morning. All right.
Can you please not ever say anything like, this will be the last time I will probably ever... We just lost a teacher. We don't want
to. Well, what I'm saying, what I said, the last time I'll ever teach on Revelation, I think Revelation is something you ought to know about, but it's not something you need to understand as much as you need to understand Romans 3 by 10.
No, I understand.
But, you know, I'm 22 years older than Barry was. So I hope the Lord takes me any day.